Jesus, reaching higher far than the brightest star. It's sweeter than the songs they sing in heaven. Let the saints proclaim, what a lovely day. Soon he'll come in clouds of glory, saints of every race shall behold his face.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Amen.
And with him will enter heaven.
Praise the Lord.
Ever to acclaim. What a lovely
day. Oh, we'll talk about it forever. Oh, now what a lovely name. The name of Jesus, reaching higher far than the brightest star. Reaching higher far than the brightest star, and is sweeter than the songs they sing in heaven. Let the saints proclaim. Say Jesus. Oh, isn't that the greatest name that you've ever uttered in your life? The name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Well, isn't it good to be in church? We had a time here Sunday morning. I'm telling you the truth. We had church, didn't we? Did you enjoy the service? Well, we're looking forward to what God would have for us again tonight. He never disappoints. It's always something good, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Let me make this announcement before we look at our prayer request. Brother Wes, if you'd get ready to pray tonight. We'll remind everyone that tonight is the last time to check for the items that may belong to you out in the lobby before they are discarded. So remember that. Tonight will be the last night to claim your items if you have some things out there. Brother Orville Reese wants to offer this testimony. He called to thank everyone for their prayers, to give thanks to our God for his healing touch. He'd been suffering with sciatic nerve pain, causing difficulty in walking and sleeping. But the pain has left him. He is now walking and sleeping pain-free. Praise be to our God. So thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Sister Becky Johnson is here tonight, and she gave a wonderful testimony on Sunday morning. We're just so thankful for God, for what he's done for our sister. Cancer-free. Praise the Lord. Amen. Sister Brenda Harmon called to request prayer for her daughter Dakota. She is very sick. It may have been caused by food poisoning, but they're not sure. Your prayers would certainly be appreciated, so let's remember that need tonight. Brother Harvey Lunsford had to go to the ER today. He is not feeling well. He is to have more tests done on Monday, and request prayer that all will be well. So we certainly want to pray for our brother tonight. I want to pray for Brother Pete Lawson, who had shoulder surgery last week, is in a lot of pain. His rehab, they're saying, will take a long time and it's going to be painful. So let's just pray that the Lord would be mindful of him. And I just say on behalf of my wife, she's undergoing therapy, doing really well. And we want to say we appreciate your prayers for Glenda. Thank you so much. Sister Sherry Hayden says to please pray for Brother Bobby's Aunt Louise. She is under hospice care. So we certainly want to remember that need tonight. Brother West sends this in. Brother Jim Hughes' wife, Laura, had a cancer removed from her back and is having issues with the wound. Also, her daughter, Victoria, has a very painful shoulder injury. They're asking that we would remember those needs tonight. All the unspoken prayer requests, certainly continue to pray for the Lehman family, that the Lord would just gird them with his love. All our needs in our assembly, many, many needs, different, various diseases, various sicknesses, and even those outside our assembly that we love, we want to pray that God will be mindful of those folks as well. Unspoken prayer requests, do you have them tonight? Let's commit them all unto the Lord. Brother West, come tonight. Take these needs unto the Lord, if you would, buddy. Appreciate Brother Wes Willis, don't we?
Love you, brother. Love you. Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, we're just so grateful to be here. We love you so much.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, you're so precious to us. Just more and more every day, you walk so close in us, Lord, and with us, and through us, and Lord, you're just making yourself such a part of our lives. Some of us are going through some of the hardest things we ever have, but Lord, you're walking closer than you ever have. You know, that standard, I never really expected to know what it was exactly until I saw it, but when I see you, Lord, looking at me through the eyes of my brothers and sisters, Lord, it's so precious. It's so precious, Lord. We know you're so close. We know that it's the harvest time, Lord. The seeds that you planted are coming to maturity. Father, the seeds that the devil's planted, they're coming to maturity.
Yes.
And we see it all around us, Lord, but it's a blessing. It's a blessing to see that you're coming soon.
You,
that all these things are coming to maturity, the good and the bad. Lord, I was contacted by a little saint before the service. And she was talking about how she had been diagnosed with breast cancer. And Lord, all she had was praise. All she had was thanksgiving to say, Lord, Jesus, it just melted my heart to see that there are saints walking this earth today that don't fear cancer. Just like you proclaimed through your prophet, Lord. They're walking the earth today. Just like you said, the prophecy's fulfilled. Lord Jesus, there's so many great things you're doing. You're so awesome and magnificent and wonderful, Lord. We love you with all of our heart. Lord, we know that as the Israelites look towards that snake up on the pole, Lord, that brass serpent, Lord, we know that you, if we could just look to you, every one of these requests, Lord, every one of these testimonies is a testimony of what you've done when we look to you and have faith in you. Every one of these requests, Lord, is just another request, Lord, that if we will just look to you and believe and agree, there is nothing Satan can do to hold us down. We're soon to leave, Lord. We're soon to leave. We're soon to be raised up off the ground and meet you in the air. I'm so grateful, Lord. I ask your blessing on this service. I ask you to just pack my brother full tonight, Lord. Lord, give us revelation. Give us strength for the battle, Lord. We're willing to fight it. We love you. We're behind you, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Wes. Praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Well, let's just give the Lord a good hand clap of praise tonight if you love him. Amen. Let's sing this old song tonight. We've wore it out 11 times, but let's sing it again tonight. I believe he's in the house tonight, don't you? How many of you believe that? How many of you come expecting tonight? You didn't just come to be here because you wanted somebody to see you, but you come to have church. We've come to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's worthy of whatever your best is. He's worthy of it tonight. Let's sing it with all of our heart. Little girl was lying there. People all were weeping. They just laughed at Jesus when he said she's only sleeping.
As he took her by the hand, she began to live again. Some began to praise the Lord. Some began to say,
I want you to sing it. Oh, he's in the house.
that little girl.
Oh, say it, buddy.
Dead in all our sin. To Jesus touched this heart of mine. He gave me life again. I am just a house of clay. Ever since that blessed day, there's a light that shines in me for all the world to see.
Listen to this verse. Let's have Brother Harry sing it. You visualize, go back and visualize when Jesus walked into a little girl, her room. Family is all weeping, crying. You can only imagine. Jesus said, don't worry. She's only asleep. They laughed him to scorn, the Bible says. He put them out. She was not dead. She was only sleeping. Praise the Lord.
Little girl was lying there. The people all were weeping.
Say it, buddy.
They just laughed at Jesus when he said she's only sleeping.
Yes, they did.
As he took her by the hand,
glory,
she began to live again.
Thank you, Lord.
Some began to praise the Lord. Some began to say,
soul. Let's sing that tonight. He's real when we don't feel him. Amen. Right? Let's sing just before Brother Josh sings for us tonight. Let's just sing a little bit of that old song tonight. My God is real. He's real in my soul. My God is him in my soul. give Brother Josh a nice hand tonight as he sings for you. You can be seated.
Outstretched so wide, barely hanging on to life, left to suffer all alone. You came for all mankind to press the great divide. Still, how ended up? Because of all the blood and tears you shed, I will never know that kind of loneliness. Your spirit never leaves me, even when I'm hurting. I don't have to bear that burden. You take them as your own. Because of all the blood and tears you shed, I will never know that kind of loneliness. Your spirit never leaves me. Because of you, I'll never walk alone. Because of you, I'll never walk alone. Lord, because of you, I'll never walk alone. And never walk alone.
Just before we go on into the service, October has been declared Pastor Appreciation Month, and we certainly appreciate our pastor tonight. We certainly do. Amen. I saw a lot of different ministers, their pictures in the paper, and a lot of different church buildings there had their church buildings in the paper. I said, well, why ain't we in there? But you know what? We're somewhere else. we're somewhere else. I'm not saying that none of them aren't, but I'm just saying I'm glad to be where we are in the Lord. Are you glad about it tonight? God has highly favored us. Brother Donnie, Sister Carol, we appreciate you. Brother Donnie, you're a wonderful pastor, a wonderful brother, and we appreciate you tonight. Now, give him a nice hand if you will. And I asked him just before the ministering tonight of the word if he'll sing us a special song. He very rarely sings a special. How many of you like to hear your pastor sing a special? Amen. Come on, brother.
I've had my picture in the paper. I really don't care for it. So I'm okay with that if I don't. Y'all understand? Amen. The day before yesterday, they crucified my Lord, beat him unmercifully, nailed him to a tree for me. The sky grew dark and the earth began to fall. People cried, surely we've crucified the Son of God. Help me sing it.
Jesus talks along the way.
The Lord. Hallelujah. I love the way the prophet describes the coming of the Lord. He says, the coming of the Lord is a sudden, secret going away. Wow. So the coming of the Lord is not just the coming of the Lord, but His coming is a going. His coming is our going. The coming of the Lord is a sudden, secret going away. I believe we're living at the time. It could be at any day, any hour. God bless you. Isn't it wonderful to be in the house of the Lord? We were so blessed Sunday by Brother Andrew being here, and him and Sister Mariah come down and spend some time with his family. And I thought, while we're here, we'll just use him again. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're so honored to be able to have servants of God come by our way and be able to share their gift with us, whether they're pastors, evangelists, or whatever they are. We're so appreciative for every God-given gift. So you know how this works, right? You know how this works. So the preacher comes. He don't bring the revival on his iPad or in his Bible, but he's a part, God's a part, and here's another big, big part. So you're taught, you're trained. So look, he's young, wear him out. He's got plenty of years in front of him. He ain't like a lot of us old timers that's ready for retirement and ready to be put up in the barn somewhere. So just wear him slap out. Amen. We so love Brother Andrew and Sister Mariah. I appreciate them coming to be with us and always have a special place in our hearts. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Aren't you so glad tonight you know the Lord Jesus? I've just been thinking about it in the last few days, what Brother Louis had said there about the wonderful name of Jesus. And I've just been thinking of how that of all the names that have been uttered down through time, billions and billions of names that have been uttered since the beginning of time and man was brought on the earth. And yet the Bible tells us there's only one name by which we can be saved. And we believe there's power in that name, right? So if we'd say Donnie Reagan, Louis Blevins, William Branham, Paul, Peter, James, your name, your name, your name, your name, God never allocated any power to be associated with your name or my name. Or even the name of the church age messengers. But whenever the name of Jesus Christ is spoken in faith, God has allocated power to go with that name. There's not another name under heaven where my men must be saved but the name of Jesus. Think of it. Don't just take that name and let it be a common thing. With that name is given power. That's why when we lay hands on the sick, friends, we have seen it right here in our own church, as other churches around the world, that God would kill cancer. God would absolutely do miracles at the power of the name of Jesus. We could say Donnie Reagan, William Branham, Paul, James, John. We could say it till we turn blue in the face. There's no power in those names. But there's power in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's just open our hearts tonight. We'll invite Brother Andrew to come out and tell him, just make yourself at home. Just preach one of what's on his heart and what the Lord's giving for us tonight. You pull on the gift of God, I believe we'll be blessed. Won't you? Amen. Sing it. There's power in the name of Jesus. You should lead it for us, Harry. Amen. God bless you, saints. Let's rejoice and enjoy as we eat tonight at the Master's table.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
There is power.
Thank you, Lord.
In the name of Jesus.
There is power in the name of Jesus
to break every chain.
Every chain.
Break every chain.
Every chain.
Break every chain.
His name is the name above all names. Amen. That at the name of Jesus, every knee has to bow, every tongue has to confess. Amen. That He is the Lord of lords. He's the King of kings. He's the power of all powers. Amen. I think of how the prophet of God said he's the King over even everything that's in the invisible world. He's the King of it all. Amen. And we sure thank the Lord tonight that He's all that. But best of all, He's our King tonight. Amen. He's our Father. He's our healer. He's our Savior. Amen. He's everything to us tonight. Do you believe that this evening? Amen. God richly bless you. If you have your Bibles while you're standing, we'll invite you in the scriptures with us to the book of Malachi, the fourth chapter. And I want to look here in Malachi, the fourth chapter, and in the fifth verse, a very familiar scripture here to us this evening. And sure want to say God bless you all this evening. Good to see everyone out in the house of God again. And I sure enjoyed being with you over the weekend and being here again. The Lord knows all things. Amen. And sure, just appreciate the opportunity to speak to you tonight. And we just want to look here in the book of Malachi, the fourth chapter. And in the fifth verse, the Bible here says, "Behold, I will send you, Elijah the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." Now, I love this here because I, which is God, will send you, which is the bride, Elijah, William Marion Branham, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Now, what I like about that is it says, "I will send." So God is actually sending this. Brother Branham didn't happen to be here or stumble up on the earth, but God sent him for a purpose. "And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." Now, if we can look in the book of Ephesians, the fourth chapter, Ephesians, the fourth chapter, and in the eighth verse, Paul here writing says, "Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." I think there's a powerful commission laying up on those five gifts that God sends in this age, don't you? Let's just bow our hearts together this afternoon and ask the Lord to speak to us. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come here this evening, Lord, we do not come, Lord, out of tradition or ritual, Father. Lord, we don't come, Lord, just because it's Wednesday night. But Lord, we are here because we want to be here, Father. We are here because there is a desire in our heart to be here. And Lord, as your believers have come tonight, Lord, as I look across this congregation, there are many, Lord, people here. Lord, hundreds of people stand before me. Father, I stand here as one individual. Lord, there's no way that I could minister, Lord, to every need. But I know tonight, Lord, that if you'll come and if you'll take control of my heart and you'll take control of my mind and my lips, Lord, and you'll help me to get myself out of the way, Father, that you can come, then Lord, I know that if they come to see me or hear me, they'll leave disappointed. But oh God, if they come to hear from you and to see you, Lord, they'll leave here with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Lord, they'll leave closer to that image that you had of us from before the foundation of the world. So I just commit this part of the service into your hands to come and have your way. Lord, I pray you would heal the sick among us tonight, God. Lord, may you encourage the discouraged, Father. Lord, may you break the strongholds of the enemy tonight. Lord, may revival fire, Lord, may it burn in every heart and every life. And we'll be sure tonight, Lord, to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. For it's in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. And all the believers said, amen. And man, God bless you. You may have your seats this evening. From those scriptures tonight, I want to, by the help of the Lord here for just a few moments, speak to you of something that's been up on my heart for a few days. And if I would title it tonight, I want to speak to you on operating the gift that God sends you, operating the gift that God sends to you. And maybe just to take a thought out of that, the power of your pull, the power of your pull, the operation of the gift that God sends to you. And if you look at the word operating, it means of a person, amen, to control the functioning of a machine, a process, or a system. So to think of it this way, amen, that there's actually a function, there's actually a pull, there's a power, there's something you can do, amen, to operate what's before you. And Brother Bram would say it this way and glorify Jesus. May those without the Holy Spirit be born again tonight with the Holy Spirit. I pray, Father, that all the sick and the afflicted, everyone will be healed this night. Get glory out of the service, for we commit ourselves to thee for the operation of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Now I'll just say it this way. We believe in the operation of the Holy Spirit. We believe in the operation of the Holy Ghost. We believe that God, amen, is still moving. He is still healing. He is still delivering. He is still manifesting himself, amen, with signs and wonders and miracles. All the things, amen, that was in the Bible. Brother Bama said this way, Bible days has returned back to the church again. So, amen, what you've seen in the Bible, we can actually see it here tonight. Amen, because the same Holy Ghost that was back there is the same Holy Ghost here tonight. Now, the prophet said God in his mercy through the operation of the Holy Spirit reveals spiritual truth, the word itself. So, amen, it's not based upon how much you memorize. It's not based upon how much you know or how much you educate yourself in the message. Amen. But what it actually is the Holy Ghost comes upon you and reveals the thing you're looking at. Like, look at Abel there. He did not know by his own education that it was going to take blood. But the prophet said the Holy Spirit, amen, revealed to Abel that it's going to take more than fruit. It's going to take more than watermelons and things. It's going to take the blood of a lamb to bring forgiveness of sins. And the prophet said, see, that's the same Holy Spirit that's here today revealing to us, amen, that it's going to take more than denomination. It's going to take more than education of religion. But the Holy Spirit that was up on the church at Pentecost, amen, come right down through the age and right on down through the age of the Lutheran, the Baptist, the Methodist, on down through, on into this age here. He said it's still the same Holy Spirit. But when people's faith, amen, gets up into a place that they'll get the blessings to realize it's theirs, then the same operation of the Holy Spirit, amen, will be operating in the church like it did back there, just the same. Amen. So then that opens up the key to tell us how we get something from God. Amen. Is when we release our faith in his presence. Amen. To realize the same Holy Ghost that was in the upper room is the same Holy Ghost here tonight. Amen. And if you begin to release your faith in him, then actually what you'll do is you will release his power in this building tonight. Amen. Not by your knowledge, not by your education, but by simple faith in the word. word of God. Now, amen, just to lay a foundation here, the prophet of God speaking in things that are to be, he said, see, there's a natural birth. It's prepared. He said, the father of the natural child wants his child born as perfect as it can be. He said, now think, if God in his mercy has the mother before the little baby is born is craving for some vitamin, and the mother's word speaks forth, dad, I want cantaloupe or watermelon, I want something another, why, he'll do everything he can to get that, because he knows that he wants his child born as perfect as it can be. See, and he'll do everything that he's able to do to get it. Now, how much more abler is he? He's speaking of God, the creator. He said, now think how more able he is to prepare us a body, amen, to live like his own glorious body if we want to live. There is something in us, amen, that calls to live. And there is something in us that calls to do right. He said, then God will call somebody on the platform, amen, or the pulpit that will preach. Somebody say that'll preach. Amen. That will preach the absolute truth. Amen. See, it shows, and if you're a real child of God, then you begin to cry out, God, take it from me. Circumcise me from this. Take these things away from me. He said, see, you've got to be a real word bride of Christ. Amen. Then let me say that that makes services, amen, more than just a gathering. That makes our meetings more than just a bunch of people coming together. Amen. And preachers getting together and singers getting together. But it's actually a time, amen, that the deepest, darkest secrets of your heart, amen, can be revealed by the preaching of the word. And the questions that's in your mind can be answered. Amen. The crossroads you're standing at and you don't know which way to go, God can come down and can take a hold of that gift and can begin to speak to you. And you'll know that you ain't talked to the preacher. He don't know what you're going through. He don't know what you're facing. But just you believing that God is still God and his word is still the word, amen, then that will begin to release the very thing that you're desiring from the word. God can answer it in a service. Amen. Let me say tonight, we are living in a time where the two spirits that begin in Genesis are coming to a head. The true spirit, amen, and the false spirit. Now we've all heard, amen, that there is a true fivefold ministry, and we've all heard that there is a false fivefold ministry. And let me just go ahead and preach here for a minute since I'm here. Amen. Many has tried to identify, amen, what a true fivefold ministry is and what a false fivefold ministry is. But let's let a prophet identify it. He'll say, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. See, then what is the truth? The truth is the word. Amen. The prophet said others' visions was contrary to the Bible. Amen. But Micah's was with the Bible. He said, see, Ahab was there, killed that day. Dogs licked his blood. He said, for one man who took God's word, his vision lined up with God's word, and it was perfect. It was the absolute truth. Amen. See, a preacher must line up, amen, with God's word. And if he is a God-called preacher, amen, then he's going to preach the absolute truth. And by the absolute truth, it's going to set you free. Then let me identify to you what the true fivefold ministry is. It is a man that is called of God, that is preaching the absolute truth, that is tearing down devils, that is destroying spirits, that is preaching the fire of the Holy Spirit. Come on, church. If I was the devil, I would fight a God-called ministry. If I was the devil, I would do everything in my power to stop it. Amen. But let me go ahead and let the devil know tonight, this ministry getting start and it cannot be stopped. Amen. The devil can't stop it. Amen. Critics can't stop it. Amen. The very demons that are trying to destroy this message, amen, have still not got enough power, amen, to stop the men of God from preaching this word, because it's bringing a liberty in the church. Then I say, if there is men in the pulpit to preach it, then God give us men, women, boys and girls in the pews that'll believe it. Amen. Give us somebody that'll stand on it in the face of every lie and say, that is not just the truth, that is the absolute truth. Amen. See, the prophet said, while we just ask the ministers of them that's in the building tonight that believes that this message that I preach, that these creeds and man-made doctrines today is not of God, amen, but they are of man, and that we really ought to get back to the Bible way. Amen. How many wants to go back to the Bible way? Amen. Then go back to the beginning. I want some of those ministers, amen, to walk forward and stand here on these people on this platform tonight while we lay hands and pray for these people. Amen. For people seeking God. Some of you ministers, if you will, that'll believe that this is to be the vital truth of God. Don't come no other way. See, he said, be a man, amen, who believes it to be the absolute truth. Amen. God is not calling cowards. Amen. God is not calling sissies. Amen. I'm going to preach for here for a minute. Amen. God is not calling politicians. He's not calling businessmen. He's not calling people that can be bought and sold and in. But God is calling men, amen, who are not afraid, amen, to stand before whatever devil raises its ugly head and declare that God is bigger, He is greater, He is stronger, He is mightier, His word is still infallible, this message is still the truth. William Branham was a prophet, amen. The seventh seal is open, the third pool is in the bride, the Son of Man is revealed, rapturing faith is in the church, amen. Rapturing grace is done come upon the hearts of the gene seeds of God. See, there is some men here today, amen, that still got a backbone to preach it. Now let me turn it to you. Is there some people here that's got a backbone to pull on it? Is there some believers here that'll say, I'll stand with it, I'll believe it, I'll pull from it, it's what God has sent me. See, if this message never becomes personal, then you won't get much out of it, amen. But if it becomes the very reason you're living, if it becomes the very reason you're breathing, if it becomes the very reason that you're existing, then you will give everything you are to it. Ah, to think tonight that God is not looking for cowards. Amen. God is looking for soldiers. Now, let me just stop here and say we ought to be thankful. Amen. For all that God has sent us. Amen. Let me say all that He has sent us. Amen. All that He is sending us and all that He will send us. Amen. God has sent us some wonderful things. He is sending us wonderful things right now. And let me say the future is looking pretty good too. He's going to send us things there as well. Let me just take a moment here and bring it right down. I am thankful, amen, for God. I am thankful for Jehovah Jireh. I am thankful for my Lord and my Savior, amen, and His name is Jesus Christ. I am thankful for the messenger. I am thankful for a man that was born in sin like I was, but was so yielded to God that Jesus Christ could claim His vessel and He could stand around the world 7 times and never one time the Spirit of God be defeated. I am thankful for the messenger. I am thankful for the message, amen, that I know which way to turn. I know what to preach. I know what to say. I know where I'm going. I know where I come from. I know what I'm believing. I'm thankful for the message. Amen. But let me go a step further and say I am thankful for messengers. Amen. Who under that final voice, amen, are standing around the world and they're boldly declaring, amen, and preaching the message of the hour. Amen. Let me say it this way. Amen. We believe the message of the hour. Amen. Then I'll say if you believe it, then it's time to get into it. If you believe it, it's time to surrender everything you are to it. You see, what you bring, amen, to it identifies what you're thinking about it. Amen. Jeremiah would say, amen, of them shall bring the sacrifice, amen, of praise into the house of the Lord. See, what gifts you bring, amen, identifies your thoughts of what you're bringing it to. Look at those 3 magi's. Amen. There was 3 magi's and they brought gold, they brought frankincense, and what else do they bring? Myrrh, which a prophet of God picks it up and says, deity in service to die. He said every gift they brought identified they believed He was deity, they believed He was the servant of the Lord, and they believed He was the prophesied lamb, amen, that would take away the sins of the Lord. They believed that, therefore the gifts they brought, amen, without them even opening their mouth, amen, without them even saying one thing, but the gifts they brought identified what they thought. And the prophet said, I say that to us today, amen, what you bring to Him identifies what you think about Him. Do you understand what I mean? See, if you believe it with all your heart, every word of that, you'll identify it, amen, by giving your all to it. See, but if you believe it's a good place to associate, amen, with better people around church and things like that, see, just about a few social hours, he said, then that's all you'll get. But if you really believe it with all of your heart, then you'll give everything to it, see, and it identifies that you really believe the message. Amen. I say tonight, amen, what I'm preaching from this pulpit, what is preached here 3 times a week is the message. Then if a stranger was to walk in and sit down beside you, you shouldn't have to tell them you believe it. You shouldn't have to explain it to them. Amen. But your actions while you're hearing it, amen, ought to identify. Amen. If I don't say one word, amen, what that preacher is preaching, I believe it. Amen. With everything within my heart. Hey, can I preach here for a minute tonight? I don't know what you think church ought to be, but let me tell you what a prophet of God said it ought to be. He said it ought to be a place where we come together and we let go and we let God have his way. Amen. If he wants to shout us and we shout. If he wants to sing us and we sing. If he wants to correct us and we accept it. Amen. This is not a social hall. This is a place. Amen. Where God comes down and claims a 16 element body. Amen. Behind a pulpit and begins to speak through that man until every demon begins to back up. Until every spirit begins to turn loose. What is it, church? It's the operation of the Holy Ghost. Not in another age, but in this age we're living in. Oh, let me just go ahead and say it. Satan does not want this message preached. Amen. Satan does not want this message preached. Amen. I'll tell you this. There is a reason why Satan does not want this message preached. Amen. And there's a reason why he don't want you to hear it. Amen. Let me go a step further. There's a reason why he don't want you to pull from it. Amen. The devil ain't scared of somebody that comes to church and they fold their arms and they sleep after service and they never raise their hand. They never say. The devil's not scared of that. Amen. But he is scared to somebody, amen, that will recognize that this is more than just a preacher. This is more than just a pastor. This is more than just an evangelist. But this is a gift, amen, from the mighty conqueror that has been descended into this generation. Oh, I'll tell you what, when you recognize this is more than a man speaking, amen, but this is God speaking, it ought to cause you to shake the sleep out of your eye. It ought to cause you to shake the lukewarmness off. It ought to cause you, amen, to say, God, if you got to shake me till I can't shake no more, move me, God. I need to hear from you. Devil don't want this message preached. Amen. Because when this message is preached, demons are cast out. Amen. When this message is preached, powers are broken. When this message is preached, complexes, amen, leave young girls' minds. When this message is preached, amen, young boys receive an inspiration into their heart to raise up under the Holy Ghost and say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Are y'all hearing me tonight? Amen. Satan does not want this message preached, but I'm going to go ahead and put a disclaimer on it. We're going to preach it till we can't preach it no more. We're going to talk about it till we can't talk about it no more. We're going to write songs about it and sing about it and shout about it. Come on, church. Is there any here tonight that believes the message of the hour? You believe it ought to be preached. You believe it ought to be played. You believe it ought to be sung about. Amen. Then there is somebody that the devil's got a target on your back. Ah, he don't want this message preached. Amen. Because the prophet will say this. Hundreds has received thee as their savior. And we're so thankful for it. Amen. See the sick, crippled, those who have been sitting in wheelchairs, who are walked out blind, deaf, dumb, all kinds of diseases has been healed. And thou, O God, has come into the midst of the people and their faith. Amen. Has drawn out supernatural words. Are y'all hearing me? Amen. Then you realize I'm not coming up with these words. Amen. But your faith is actually pulling these words out of my mouth. If it's a true gift of God, amen, he said, see, amen, these supernatural words, explaining to them their life of what they have done, of what they must do, and what will be. See, Brother Branham didn't know, amen, but God knew. When that girl come before him and said, you was bit by a dog, he went all the way back to what had been, amen, and he said, Jesus Christ, amen, is here to heal you now, and he come to what is. Then he turned, Brother Harry, and said, go on your way praising God. See, those were supernatural words that released that girl, amen, from something she had been carrying, amen, for years. And I'll tell you tonight, friends, amen, the devil don't want you to hear this message, amen, because the same Holy Ghost that stood in Chicago and Shreveport and Jeffersonville, amen, and all around the world is standing here on this platform tonight. And if you'll release your faith, amen, some old spirit that you've been carrying for years, in just a twinkling of an eye, by the preaching of the word, Brother Jeremy, me, that devil can lose his hold and you'll be as free, amen, as a bird in the sky. I'm talking about the power of preaching the message of the hour. You say, Brother Andrew, you don't know what you're talking about. You've come too late. I've done seen why the message is being preached. Amen. Chains fall off of people's hearts. I've done seen people, amen, that was on the road to destruction, but by the preaching of the message of the hour, the Holy Ghost get a hold of them and turn them around. There's a witness. amen, drawing more than just words, drawing more than just definitions and quotes and scriptures, but they're actually supernatural words. See, the prophet God will say it this way, amen, I was an ex-bantamweight champion of 3 states. He said, undefeated. He said, didn't have much of the fighters around. He said, some of the times they come out there all dressed up. He said, they had all kinds of fancy stuff. He said, a lot of times that was a sham. He said, that's what we try to bring our churches today, with the highest steeple and the prettiest pews. He said, best dressed crowd. That don't break the toehold. No, if he didn't have some hidden power there to break the holds. See, no, it takes the hidden power of the Spirit of God, that word in there, to break the hold. Amen. Then can I just preach here for a moment? How many believes that God is still breaking the hold of the devil? How many believes, amen, that no matter how long it's been there, no matter how long you've carried it, no matter how long it's tormented you, no matter how long it has defeated you, amen, that Jesus Christ is still in the devil breaking business. Amen. He can still come in the middle of a sermon and discern everything you've been through and say, but it's as though, amen, you never even done it in the first place. And in just a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, something begins to break over you. What done it? The preaching of the message of the hour. Amen. There's got to be some word there. There's got to be some spirit there to break the hold. Let me say it this way. The message of the hour is the power of God, amen, to break the devil's hold. The message of the hour is the power, amen, to break the hold of every foul, every unclean, ever hateful old devil. Amen. The message of the hour is still the power to break it. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about a man named Peter, amen, who knew how to duel a sword. Amen. He could stand there and cut with a good natural sword. Amen. But when it come time, amen, to carry that supernatural sword, he didn't have the courage. And when Jesus stood before him, the word made flesh, he denied him. And the prophet of God said, see, he said he could duel the creed just as good as anybody. But brother, after he went up to Pentecost, where the same Holy Ghost that operated in Pentecost is operating here today, after he went to Pentecost, he put on the whole armor of God. What was it? That word he had walked with was in him. The word he had walked with was now in him. He said, see, oh my, burning him up with fire in his flesh and soul, he had the whole armor of God on. What is it? God makes himself known in his own present army. He is with us. He is in us. That's the armor. He is the word, and he is the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit in us, which is the word making the promise manifest. Are you hearing me tonight? Then what does a prophet turn and say? The Spirit quickens the word. Amen. The Spirit quickens the word. In other words, he is the powder that sends the bullet out there with it, like it was with the powder when David met Goliath. Now, my Bible says that the word is a discerner, amen, of the thoughts, of the intents, of the heart. The word can cut between the bone and between the joint and between the marrow. What is it showing us, Brother Brad? It is showing us that the word, when it's preached under an anointed gift, is actually a laser beam to the devil's target. When the word is preached under anointing by the Spirit of God, it is the operation of the Holy Ghost to direct a laser-guided missile, amen, right to where that old devil is laying and blow him to kingdom come. You say, Brother Andrew, what are you talking about? Let me tell you something I saw the other day. Brother Bram talking about David and Goliath. He said David looked down there and he saw Goliath. He said he saw this great old big Philistine had all this armor on. Now, we've always preached that David picked up the sling and just began to sling it and threw it down there, amen, and it hit him and he fell. But the prophet of God said David only had one place to hit. Are y'all hearing me? He only had one place to hit. He said that was right there in the head. Now, you know what's amazing is David didn't go down there and size Goliath up and say, Goliath, you're this tall, and let me find a place here to hit. I can't hit there, can't hit there, can't. Oh, there's a place. Stand there, and I'm going to go up here and find a rock and throw. No, the prophet of God said he picked up the slingshot, and he just began to preach. I mean, he just began to sling it. He just began to wind it up. He just began to stand there and say, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday.
yesterday, today, and forever. He just began to stand there and say, if God is for us, then who can be against us? He just began to stand there and say, amen, though I slay me, amen, yet I'll trust him. He just began to preach the word, and all of a sudden he released that rock, and it went plumb out there, and the prophet of God said the Holy Ghost picked it up and guided it right to that little tiny hole and hit Goliath square in the face. You say, then Brother Andrew, why do all these preachers stand here and preach like they're going to save the entire church? Because they know if they'll just keep preaching, if they'll just keep slinging, if they'll just keep winding, amen, before long they're going to release a rock against that devil that's trying to bind you, and the Holy Ghost is going to lead that rock, amen, to the direct spot it needs to go, and you're going to leave here freer than you came. Amen. You're going to leave here with more joy than you had. You're going to leave here with a renewed zeal to serve God. Why? Because the word preached in power. Oh, I say tonight, the prophet said it this way. He said something's fixing to happen, because there's the word, there's the promise, and there's the power. Then let me put the devil on notice tonight and say, God has still got some little Davids. He has still got some preachers. He has still got some men that are preaching the word, amen, the promise, and the power. It's amazing how, if you look in Revelation 1, that John on the Isle of Patmos will see, amen, the sevenfold glory of the person of Jesus Christ. And he'll say it this way. He'll say his voice was as the sound of many waters. That was the fourth fold. He'll say, now what does waters represent? Amen. Waters was representing the multitudes of people. He said that his voice was as the sound of multitudes speaking. What is it? It's the judgment. See, the voices of the seven messengers will be heard loud and clear. Now notice here, those faithful preachers. Amen. Amen. Can we just preach tonight? Amen. Didn't say those faithful players. Amen. Or those faithful pushers. Amen. But those faithful preachers. Amen. Who preach the saving power of Jesus. Who preach water baptism in Jesus' name. Who preach the infilling and the power of the Holy Ghost, who stood with the word, amen, more than they stood with their own lives. All of them were the voice of Jesus Christ, amen, by the Holy Ghost, amen, down through the ages. And may I say it like this, the voice that was in Paul came all the way into William Branham, and the voice that was in William Branham is not laying in the graveyard in Jeffersonville, amen, it's not out in Tucson somewhere, but that same voice, amen, that spoke those squirrels into existence is in Happy Valley Church tonight, and it's speaking if you'll only hear it. Amen. It's talking if you'll only listen. And what is it saying, Brother Rob? It's saying, house of hell, give way to the name of Jesus Christ. Cancer, leave that body in the name of Jesus Christ. Sugar, diabetes, come under control of the Holy Ghost. Come on, church. We don't need squirrels. We need the healing power. We need joy in our homes. And won't you cast that old devil off tonight and just speak the word? He's here to do it tonight. That voice is not dead. That voice is still speaking. He said, see, that voice, the voice of his servants, as it calls, amen, to repentance and life. Now that was the fourthfold. But I love this one, Brother Jerry. It's the sixthfold. It goes from the voice, amen, to the sword. From the voice, amen, to the sword. And says, now notice here, Bible says, I knelt down to pray, and I raised up my hands, and a sword struck my hand. And I looked around. I thought, what's that? I'm beside myself. I'm not. Here's that sword in my hand. He said, then I heard a voice say. Notice here, I heard a voice say. So he makes a connection with the voice and the sword. I heard a voice say, that's the king's sword. Not a king's sword, but the king's sword, which is the third pull, which is the vindication of your ministry. Preaching. Is this all right? Amen. The voice of your ministry. The voice of your preaching. Then John comes along and says, see, it's a two-edged sword. It's not just a one-edged sword. Brother Harry, that means if it's one edge, if you swing it this way, it's only going to cut one way. Amen. But if it's two-edged sword, that means every which way you swing it, it's going to cut coming and a going. That sword is going to cut going out there. That sword is going to cut coming back. Oh, I'm just going to take the brakes off here and preach for a minute. He said, and out of his mouth went the sharp two-edged sword, which is the word of God. Then do you see why that a preacher is preaching as hard as he is? Because he's in a battle. Right now, every man of God that stands behind this pulpit is in a battle. He's in a battle between the spirit of the devil, amen, and the spirit of tiredness, and the spirit of formalism, and the spirit of coldness, and the spirit that says you've gone too far and God can't use you no more. Amen. He fights that spirit. Amen. But do you notice the preachers don't quit preaching? Amen. Because they are carrying a sword. And if that man is not a witness that sword works, he needs to sit down until he stands on the backside of the desert and becomes a witness that the sword he's carrying works. Now you say, Brother Andrew, I can hear the word. I can hear the voice calling me to freedom. I can hear the voice calling me to come up higher, but I just can't get there. What do I do? Can I tell you tonight? Can I tell you what you need to do? You need to reach over and get a hold of that sword. And you need to pick that two-edged sword up. And you need to hold it in a hand of faith. Well, Brother Andrew, if I do that, will it work? Amen. My Bible says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Amen. Now, I'm going to establish the word in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Brother Donnie, does the sword work? Brother West, does the sword work? Amen, brother. Amen, brother. Brother Brad, does the sword work? Are y'all hearing me tonight? Amen. Are you hearing me tonight? Does the sword work? All right. There's three preachers. Amen. Can I get some witnesses? Young man, does the sword work? Young lady, does the sword work? You say, what are you doing? I'm establishing a witness here that is defeating the devil, that is telling you you can't swing the sword. If you'll just pick up the faith and pick it up and begin to swing it, I promise you, before this service is over, you may be surrounded by darkness right now, but if you'll just go to cutting and a cutting and a cutting and a cutting, amen, before long, Brother Matthew, you're going to begin to see the light of God's word, amen, shining where you are. And you just got to keep on pressing, and you'll get out of where you're at. But how? By the word. I hope you're hearing me tonight. I know this is simple, but hear me. The word did not come, amen, just in letter, but it came in power as well as voice. The word came in power as well as in voice. Amen. The word came in power as well as voice, which you can't preach without a voice. And when you got a voice and you're going to preach, hey, let me just go and preach here for a minute. Amen. I know why the devil don't want preachers preaching, and he wants the preachers just to sit down and put a tape in the pulpit. I'm here. Might as well go and preach. Amen. Just put a tape in the pulpit. Amen. Because he can control that. Amen. He can control that. You say, Brother Andrew, are you saying he can control that tape? No. I'm saying the devil knows, amen, that if somebody picks out a tape, it's going to blast pornography, and it's going to blast internet, and it's going to blast all kinds of things you're doing. Brother Adam never discusses that on the tape. Amen. So you'll never hear that directed, and you'll sit there with those things in your life. Amen. But you get a preacher in the pulpit. Amen. Who's not controlled by a man, but he's controlled by the Holy Ghost. Then that devil on you will say you can't go free. And that'll send a signal to who I'm working for tonight, the Holy Ghost. And he'll get a hold of me, and he'll lead me right down that channel and say, young man, you can come out of that pornography prison. Young lady, you can come out of that Hollywood fashion in prison. And in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the devil's power is broken by the preaching of the word. No wonder he don't want it preached. It breaks his hold. The prophet said it's like a flaming cutting sword. It went to the consciousness of men. It's like a surgeon's knife. It cuts out the diseases and sets the captives free. Can I go a step further? Everywhere those early believers went, they went preaching. The gospel, which is the word, and God confirmed that word with signs following. The sick were healed. Devils were cast out. They spoke in new tongues. That was the word in action. That word has never failed in the mouths of believing Christians. And in this last age, somebody shout, this last age. It is here stronger. It is here greater than ever in the true word bright. Oh, little flock, you little minority, hold on to that word. Fill your mouth and your heart with it. And someday God will give you the kingdom. See, then the word is the authority. The word is the power to break the toehold. Brother Bram says this way, Christ, amen, you believe Christ has left the church, amen, some wonderful gifts. But let me say it this way. The greatest gift he gave was himself. In St. John 3:16, the Bible says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now this Jesus, he was the greatest gift that God could ever give the earth, the world. Amen. Now people had faith in it. Now we got to connect something with it. You got to connect your faith with the word. See, now people had faith in it. God's gifts are looked down upon by the modern religious moves. He said, but it's always been that way and it never changes. Then can I take just a few moments here tonight to tell you the gifts that Christ left you, amen, that are to be manifested, not in the sheetrock, not in the carpet, not in the wood, but they're to be manifested in you. In Matthew 11:28, he said, I will give you rest. Amen. In Matthew 16:19, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. In Luke 10:19, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. In John 4:14, the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up. In St. John 6:51, the bread that I will give him is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. In John 10:28, I will give unto them, amen, eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. In John 14:27, I love this one, because if we ever needed it, we need it right now. Peace I leave with you. My peace, my peace, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. In Revelation 2:26, to him that overcometh will I give power over the nations. In Revelation 2:28, I will give him the morning star. Amen. Do you see what these are? These are gifts. Amen. But they're not really gifts. They're actually a person. It is the person Jesus Christ. Then somebody, oh help me Jesus, then somebody in these last days is going to be manifesting more than just a book. They're going to be carrying more than just a tape. Amen. But they are going to be the flesh. Amen. That God is going to claim by the operation of the Holy Ghost to manifest himself through. These gifts are promises that are to be manifested in a people. Now you say, Brother Andrew, I hear all these gifts. I hear all these promises. My, Brother Andrew, I've been hearing them for 15 years and 20 years and 30 years. Maybe some of you have been hearing them 50 years. Amen. Will they ever be manifested in me? The prophet of God said, we don't have to take any substitutes. When God's word is full of promises, that's the way it is when I become a Christian. I want to see what I'm heir to. Oh my, I find a whole storehouse full of promises. It just ain't go put your name on the church book and do the best you can. You're an heir. Look through the storehouse. What's great big arcade? You was baptized into it. It's yours. You're heir to it. I'd go around and look at this counter, see what I got here, and go over here and see what I got over here. Anything that looks a little bit too high, amen, then I'll get a stepladder and I'll climb up to it. Now, I love this. I caught this the other day. He said, if I see anything that looks a little out of my reach, amen, it may be out of your reach. Amen. But Brother Harry, it's not out of the Holy Ghost's reach. It may look a little too high for you. He said, but God has got a stepladder. He said, like if I see divine healing or something, I will get on Jacob's ladder. Notice he didn't say Jacob's ladder will come to me and I'll fold my arms and I'll sleep in church and I'll look around while the preacher's preaching and I'll be watching him by my clock and I'll know when he's been 45 minutes and then I'll get it. But when I really want it, I'll put forth an effort. I'll get up and I'll go over and get Jacob's ladder, and he said, I'll begin to climb till I get where it's at and I'll lay my hand on it. And when you get your hand on it, brother, can't no devil take it from you. What are you talking about, Brother Andrew? I'm talking about some people that's like Jacob, that when you really want a blessing, I'm not talking about somebody that, I'm not talking about a casual Christian, you know, that just kind of casually comes to church and just casually listens to tapes and just casually worships God. No, I'm talking about a real Christian that says, if I don't get it, I'm going to die. If I don't get what I need, I'm not going to leave here till I get it. I'll tell you what, when you get that desperate, you better clear the aisles, brother. Amen. Because the Holy Ghost is going to come to a desperate heart and he's going to meet the need of that individual believer. Sometimes you just got to climb up there and get it. Amen. And then sometimes it can be right there and you not know what you got. Are you hearing me? Remember the woman down there in Kentucky who was there poverty stricken? Amen. That they come and did a welfare check on her and they walked in. They said, ma'am, do you not have any family? She said, oh, I got a son over in India. They said, does he not care about you? Does he not check on you? She said, oh, yeah. He sends me the most beautiful cards. She said, let me show you to him. She took them over there and pulled them down off the shelf. She said, look at this pretty one and look at that pretty one and look at that pretty one. Amen. You know what? Brother Bram said, that guy looked at her and said, ma'am, do you not know what those are? She said, oh, they're beautiful pictures. He said, no, ma'am. Those are moneygrams. Those are moneygrams that has come from your son in India. He said, let me have those. And he began to count through them. And he said, there's one for joy. And he said, there's one for peace. And there's one for healing. And there's one for a revival. And there's one for an overcoming life. And there's one for victory. And there's one for peace in the midst. Oh, Brother Bram said, time he got done counting, she was the richest woman in the county and she didn't even know it. But Brother Donnie, how did she find out? Because God sent a gift, by the way, and that gift went over and picked up the promises and said, look what you're heir to. Then I say tonight, I'm carrying a book full of promises. Anybody want them? Anybody want a promise? You say, Brother Andrew, I've been wanting joy for a long time. God sent me here to tell you, amen, he'll give you joy unspeakable and full of glory. You say, Brother Andrew, I've been held an answer from God for years. God will put a preacher behind this pulpit, amen, to preach the answer to your question. Why? Because he died that these promises might be fulfilled in us. Are you hearing me tonight? Are you hearing me tonight? The Bible is full of promises. Every promise is real. Every promise is ours. Let the people not be afraid when they see that thing happen. Amen. That you spoke would come to pass. See it happening right among them. Then do you see another thing, Brother Branham was? He was a channel, amen, to stand between faith and fear over the people's hearts. Now you say, Brother Andrew, what are you talking about? The prophet God said it very plainly there. Let the people not be afraid when they see that thing that you spoke would come to pass when it's happening right among them. All right, now let me say it this way. In the days when the Son of Man is revealed, let the people not be afraid that that's the same Son of Man that stood at Abraham and Sarah's tent door is the same Son of Man that walked by the woman there at the well is the same Son of Man that discerned Nathaniel and Philip and John 1. Let them not be afraid, Brother Freddie, that that same Son of Man has returned in the last days in the bride. Oh, get out of here, devil. I'm going to preach it or bust. There is some people here that believes he's not just coming, but they believe he is here. Where is he, Brother Jerry? Can you tell me where he's at? He's in you. He's in me. Sister Sarah, he's in you. Sister Karen, he's in you. Amen. Come on, young people. He's in you. He is here to manifest himself through you. Are you hearing me tonight? God has sent a gift. My, the Holy Ghost is here. You say, Brother Andrew, what are you talking about? A man sitting here. Amen. Suffer with hemorrhoids. I never seen you in my life. If that's right, raise up your hand. You believe me to give witness of the word of God? That's your wife sitting next to you. She's suffering also with a cyst on her head. See, Brother Branham, Brother Harry, he didn't just have anywhere to hit. He was like David. He wasn't just throwing a stone with anywhere for it to hit. But this had to be accurate. This had to be 100% accuracy. That's right. Raise up your hand. Do you believe God? Tell me who you are. If he's still the word knows the secret of the heart. You are Mr. and Mrs. Hunt. If that's right, raise up your hand. Why don't you believe it? Here sits a man sitting right here. His head is down. He is crying, praying for himself and also for his wife. She isn't here. She's not with you this afternoon. She's suffering. You think God could tell me what her trouble is and her not here? You believe it? You do? I'm a stranger to you. Is that right? Your wife has a female trouble. If that's right, raise up your hand high so they'll see it. And your name is Mr. Smith. Do you believe God will make her well? If that's right, wave your hand up and down like this. Are y'all hearing me? Then he stops and he's going to give a challenge. How many likes a challenge? Anybody like a good challenge? Amen. Our kids, our young people can tell you about a water challenge where you go jump and freeze in cold water. They can tell you about a cinnamon challenge where you eat a whole mouthful of cinnamon without drinking water. Then can I come here tonight and give you a prophetic challenge? A prophet said, I challenge you to believe that Jesus Christ is revealed in the form of Son of Man in human flesh through the bride's body. No, y'all didn't hear that. Amen, because there's still too much carpet on these floors. I challenge you to believe that Jesus Christ is revealed in the form of Son of Man in human flesh. Are you hearing me? That was supernatural words. The Son of Man was being revealed right there in William Branham's body in human flesh. Believe it. But he didn't just leave it in 64. He brought it to tonight and said through the bride's body. Well, a Son of Man, William Branham, is not here. Here tonight, but the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, is in this building tonight. I challenge you to believe he is here. Oh, we need to recognize church. We need to take advantage of this. But I said, you don't realize the privileges that you're living under. You don't realize, he said, you don't realize there's many great men, there's many saints, there's thousands of holy men that died in years gone by spirit-filled men who would have loved to have seen the day you're living in. He says, let you and I take advantage of it. Now, let me say it this way. If a handyman was to come to your house and you called him for one thing, you should come over here and fix this door. Well, he's there and he's working away. And he says, we about got the door done. And you say, well, while you're here, amen, I need the porch fixed. Would you look at that? And we get about done with that. And you say, well, while you're here, I need a light switch fixed. Would you look at, see, what you're doing is you're pulling on him. You're trying to get everything out of him. You're trying to get everything out of him that you can while he's there, because you know in a few minutes he's going to leave. Are you hearing me? Amen. Now listen, by you pulling, you are operating the ability that he has to fix something. By you saying, can you fix my light switch? The ability is in him to fix it, but somebody's got to pull it out. Somebody's got to ask him. Somebody's got to want it. The ability is in him, amen, to repair the door, but somebody's got to pull it out of him. Are y'all hearing me? If we will pull on a natural gift, amen, to get the most out of it, then don't you think it's time that we start pulling on a spiritual gift to get as much out of it as we can? Well, Brother Andrew, you don't understand. It's a Wednesday night. I don't care if it's a Thursday night. He's the same here tonight as he is on Sunday morning. Well, Brother Andrew, you don't realize I'm tired, and you don't think the preachers are ever tired? Ooh, mercy. Well, Brother Andrew, you don't understand. I just don't get excited. Okay, we'll believe that. But let us not go to your grand boys' ball game. When they're down by one and he hits a home run and you jump up and act like a wild man, I'm going to look over at you and say, remember, you don't get excited. No, just tell the truth. You get excited about what excites you. See, that's why you don't. Why I don't get excited about church. It's because church ain't exciting you. Amen. And then you ridicule the people that do get excited. Amen. But don't get mad at them. They didn't get cleaned up and pressed through devils to get here to sleep. They can do that when they get home tonight. They come here because there's a call in them. There's a pull in them. There's a zeal in them. There's a question that needs to be answered. There's a fire that needs to be lit. There's an experience that needs to be had. And they know if I begin to pull, then God will pull a man behind the pulpit and he'll stand there and he'll preach to me like he's been with me all week. You said, Brother Andrew, what are you talking about? I'm talking about a pull. Amen. Well, Brother Andrew, I'm pulling. Amen, Brother Donnie. That's good, Brother Daryl. That ain't pulling. The definition of pulling is, means you exert force on something. You get a hold of it. You get a hold of it. You reach over and you get a hold of it. And where it goes with you. You may try to hold there. You may try to hold there, but it's going to turn loose. Are you hearing me? Amen. And you may be sitting in your pew tonight saying, God, I can't have it. God, I can't get it. But if it gets a hold of you, if your blessing gets a hold of you, if your healing gets a hold of you, if your miracle gets a hold of you, it ain't going to turn loose until you release your body for it to come in and manifest itself. And I say tonight, come on in, Holy Ghost. There's some vessels here. There's some hearts here. There's some hopes here. There's some people that need the Holy Ghost. Won't you receive it tonight in the name of Jesus Christ? When it gets a hold of you. Are you hearing me? When it gets a hold of you. Ah, Brother Andrew, I don't know about this. I do. I do, because I know gifts are not earned. Gifts are sent. Gifts are placed in men. I'm coming to a close. When that gift begins to preach and that gift begins to get a hold of you, separate the vessel that it's in. Well, Brother Andrew, it's just Brother Donnie. No, it's a gift. Are you hearing me? Well, Brother Andrew, it's just Brother Daryl. No, it's a gift. Well, it's just Brother West. No, it's a gift. You got to separate that there's a gift there that's trying to pull you into the full advantage of what God has left for you. See, when it gets a hold of you, it begins to pull. Then you reach out and get a hold of it. Notice here the prophet said, what is it? It's a gift that God gave me. Not somebody laid hands on me. It's God's election. Amen. God calling. You're not that you're any better than anybody else. We're all the same. We're just children. But God has chose some to be one thing and some another. See, he says, see what they do. He said the men there could get up here and preach till when they're preaching inspired, they yield themselves to the Spirit of God. Then they are standing there and they are contending. I'm coming to a close. They are contending. What are they contending to do? They are contending, amen, that Jesus Christ is the same. His body is sitting on the throne of God in glory, but the spirit that was in him, direct quote, the spirit that was in him is right here now in the church, moving among his people. Oh, church, that's according to his word. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. He said, what is it? It's God dressed up in his church. Brother Andrew, what are you saying? I'm saying if it is a true gift from God, that gift is not trying to achieve anything by itself. If it's a true gift of God, it's not trying to achieve something for itself. It's trying to achieve something for the body. Now let me say it this way. Only the absolute truth, amen, preached will bring a people to perfection. He said, see it like this. For to man glorify himself? No. He said to bring the church to a living faith in Jesus Christ. Then the gifts of God, amen, are not sent to hurt the body. They are sent to help the body. a gift of God does not come to divide the body, but unite the body. See, but the gift will separate, amen, sin from faith. Are you hearing me? Every person that will believe on that will receive something from it. Amen. I want to close right here. Amen. Because God does not send gifts by accident. God does not orchestrate for a gift to come into an age by accident. God sends. God guides. God directs that gift to its predestinated place. You say, what are you talking about? When that gift arrives, that gift will not have to testify of itself. Amen. But God will testify of His gifts. Oh, mercy. See, through His humble servant, then God does not place, amen, a ministering gift in the life of a man for the man, but as I said, for the people. Let me say it this way. Now, that little girl the Lord has, by His grace given to me, is not anything to glorify me. If I'd ever do that, it might leave me, or I might have to leave the world. It's me. It's not for me. It's for you. The reason I can't operate it, you operate it. You're the one who does it. Right. Now, if I come here with ever such a great gift and you people come in and say, I don't believe it, nothing to it, not nothing at all, there wouldn't be nothing happen. So therefore, it doesn't take me. Right. It takes you and I both. Both of us operate the gift of God. The gift comes on me and you operate it by your faith. How many understands that? He said, see what you mean, Brother Branham? No man can say, oh, it's me. It isn't. It's God. Neither is it you. You couldn't operate it unless it was somewhere to be operated. I know you've heard these things for years, but let me drive this home. I couldn't operate it unless there's something to operate through. See there, I'm the vine, Jesus, and you are the branches. Jesus gives the energy and we collect it. Jesus gives the energy and we collect it. Then what gets you, amen, from Wednesday night to Saturday night? What gets you from Saturday night to Sunday morning? What's going to get you, amen, from where you are right now into the rapture is Jesus is going to keep on giving energy. He's going to keep on speaking. He's going to keep on moving. He's going to keep on healing. He's going to keep on delivering. He's going to keep on establishing. He's going to keep on restoring loved ones. He's going to keep on bringing prodigals home, and we're going to keep on collecting that energy until one of these mornings the final dynamic strikes what's laying on the inside of us and we begin to lift off the ground. Jesus gives the energy and we collect it. Amen. Let me say it the best way I know how. Jesus is here tonight. Collect what He's given you. You say, Brother Andrew, I'm too small, I'm too little, I'm too insignificant. Brother Branham said sometimes God uses His gift and sometimes the people use His gift. He said, like the woman with the issue of blood. He said she had to press, she had to fight, she had to get through this man, she had to get around this one, she had to crawl between their legs, she had to get down on the ground. He said, but when she finally got there, He said she reached out. Brother Donnie, she reached out and she got the hem of His garment. Do you realize what she done? By her faith. Her faith touched the hem of His garment. That little insignificant woman and that little faith touch, she literally pulled her healing out of His body into her own body by touching the hem of His garment. Oh, mercy, church. Are you hearing me tonight? He said, then sometimes, amen, God uses His gift, like the resurrection of Lazarus. He said, He stood there. He said, but how much more greater was the miracle of the resurrection of Lazarus than in the woman touching His garment? There wasn't nothing said about Him getting weak. Are y'all hearing me tonight? You say, Brother Andrew, what are you talking about? I'm talking about when Jesus was touched by her, something left Him. He knew He had been touched. He said, oh, you are drawing from God's gift. Oh, so would I. He said, is this microphone here? He said, it just picks up my voice. It's a dumb mute. until there's something behind it speaks. And so would I be a dumb mute to anything the supernatural unless the supernatural is using the instrument to speak through. See, then this is not just a preacher. It's not just your pastor. It is a supernatural microphone that is picking up supernatural. That is picking up supernatural words from a supernatural dimension, and a supernatural people is manifesting those supernatural words. Are y'all hearing me tonight? It's a supernatural service. Brother Andrew, it's just Wednesday night. It's a supernatural service. Brother Andrew, it's just Saturday night. It's a supernatural service. Brother Andrew, it's just Brother Donnie on Sunday morning. It's a supernatural service. Are you hearing me? Supernatural words are coming into a supernatural gift, speaking out a supernatural microphone. And it ain't called a Sennheiser either. But before you receive anything from them, you've got to get like blind Bartimaeus and begin to pull on him. God, I want it. But them said, blind Bartimaeus sat there and he began to cry out, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He said he promised God his two turtle doves for the healing of his daughter. Then he turned around and promised God the lamb for the healing of his wife. While he was sitting there, he remembered his mother telling him the story of Israel leaving Egypt under the power of Jehovah. I'm closing right here. The priest at the temple down there taught Jehovah wasn't the same today as he was then. You imagine Brother Donnie, blind Bartimaeus, getting with him after service and said, remember Jehovah brought our family out. Remember when he fed him in the wilderness, and said, didn't you hear the preacher today? He don't do that no more. Didn't you hear the rabbi in there? He don't move like that no more. Blind Bartimaeus said, oh, but there's something in here calling out for him. If there is this heart of a call, there's got to be an answer somewhere. Blind Bartimaeus, God don't save people no more. Oh, but you don't realize that this burning zeal inside of me is burning so hard, it wouldn't be here if there wasn't a God to answer it. Von Bartimaeus would say, come on, take me up there to the temple. Brother Harry, they'd get a hold of him, and here they'd go. They'd lead him up there and sit him right outside the temple. Brother Bram said that priest would get up and say, Jehovah, don't perform miracles anymore. Von Bartimaeus sit there and say, just any day now, my Lord is coming. And one day Bartimaeus sat there and he heard some noise. He said, man, that's some loud noise. He asked him, he said, hey, what's causing the noise? I can't see. They said, well, there's some holy rollers up there in Happy Valley. And they got to singing some song about, aren't you glad you recognized he's here? And they said, Bartimaeus, just calm down. It's just Jesus of Nazareth. He said, just Jesus of Nazareth. They said, just Jesus of Nazareth. Bartimaeus, calm down. You know Bartimaeus. When he comes in this part of town, he causes all kinds of stir. They said, Bartimaeus, we got to stop all this nonsense. It's getting too out of control. Bartimaeus said, can someone please tell me who's passing by for real? Can somebody please tell me? And they said, Bartimaeus, I told you it's Jesus of Nazareth. And he began to hear the cries get louder. He said, if I can hear him crying that loud, he must be here somewhere. Brother Brad, then reality struck him. He's passing by. He's passing by, and the prophet said he began to cry out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. They said, Bartimaeus, you better be quiet. You're embarrassing us. He said, but you don't know what it's like not to see the blue sky. You don't know what it's like not to see the face of your wife and your children. I've got a need, and the need meter is passing by. Get out of my way, thou critic. Get out of my way, thou unbeliever. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, 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 have mercy on me. I know you can't see me, but I'm right here, Jesus. And the prophet of God said that little blind beggar's faith actually caused Jesus to stop in the middle of the road and say he's healed. Come on, church. If blind Bartimaeus' faith can do that, then what about all the faith of the believers in Happy Valley? You can call Jesus right in this building tonight. But you got to get a hold of it. As the musicians come, the pull, the pull, the pull of that blind beggar's faith. He knew there's a gift in there. He's a healer. If I can just get his attention, if I can just, I've heard him say for years he's nobody. But I just happen to believe he don't do anything but what first he sees the Father showing. I just happen to believe that he don't do anything till some supernatural words comes down upon that supernatural gift. And out of that supernatural voice, out of that supernatural microphone, speaks some supernatural words. He's here, blind Bartimaeus. He's here. But Andrew, there's no way I can pull God to my pew 3 times a week. The devil's telling you that. Well, Andrew, there's no way these services can become more personal to me. The devil's telling you that. Brother Andrew, there's no way the word can speak to me anymore. I've gone too far. The devil's telling you that. Okay. Little woman down there in Memphis. Boy laying in there dying. Life leaving his body while she was praying. Moaning, groaning, didn't know where he was at, didn't know who he was, out of his head. But she tapped into a supernatural dimension. And there was a supernatural microphone flying through the air on a perfect airplane with a bunch of doctors and lawyers and important people and high-class people. It was going home to land on the airplane. And all of a sudden, as Brother Darrell said, a red light come on the screen. And the other pilot looked at the co-pilot and said, pull out the manual. What's this mean? And the co-pilot said, land immediately. The engine's failing. We got to land this thing. No, there's a little insignificant woman down there. God, I need you. God, I believe you. God, I'm like that woman in the Bible. God, I got the son laying sick here. God, I know there's a prophet somewhere. Lands that plane right there in that supernatural microphone. Walks down the road. And some supernatural words comes into it. You pray first. You pull first. It's a little out of your reach, but start climbing up there on Jacob's ladder and start pulling your own boy's healing right out of that gift. Are you hearing me tonight, church? If blind Bartimaeus can do it, if the prophet God said an insignificant little colored woman on the streets of Memphis praying and believing God can land an airplane, then what can 500 believers do in this building tonight? Won't you stand to your feet and rest yourselves this evening? He said, Brother Andrew, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the pull of faith. I'm talking about getting a hold of God and pulling on him. He said, Brother Andrew, when do I need to start doing this? When I get to church? No, 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 no. Do it all day long. Brother Andrew, about 30 minutes before church, I need to get my spirit quiet and get all ready to receive from God. No, be talking to him all day long. There you go. Brother Andrew, I can't text Brother Donnie and tell him what I need tonight. No, 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 no. Talk to the supernatural God.
Glory.
Let's go put some supernatural words in that supernatural microphone. Are you hearing me tonight? I know this is simple, but it's the truth.
Yes, Lord.
You notice the devil don't fight you to stay awake during the song service. Just killed it right there in 5 minutes. You don't fight staying awake during the song service. When that word begins to be preached. Come on, church, we're all human.
Amen.
But it's because the devil knows if you really get to preaching, you can pull that gift to your pew. That you or nobody else in the entire building knows what you talk to God about. But God can speak through that microphone. I was out in the meeting the other day, it's been a while. Me and Brother Wendell Martin was out in the meeting, and Brother told him, he said, Brother Wendell, I've never seen you preach like that. Brother Wendell, we got away. Brother Wendell looked over at me and said, there wasn't much pull. I said, has that guy ever seen you preach when there is a lot of pull? He said, Brother Andrew, what are you talking about? I'm talking about quit complaining about things and change them. We complain, well, Brother Andrew, I don't like the way the service is going, and I don't. But you got the power to change it. You got the power to break the atmosphere for the song service. You got the power to begin to get a hold of God and say, God, get a hold of that preacher and preach him like never before. Do you love him tonight? Brother Andrew, I can't do it. The prophet of God said El Shaddai has returned again. Lean up against him and draw his own life into you. Amen. How many will say tonight, Lord, from this service forward, from this night forward, Lord, help me to change the way I approach these services. Help me to change the way I look at the man of God standing behind the pulpit preaching. Help me to change the way I look at the evangelist coming through or the visiting minister, just somebody I hear call. Just help me, God, to just totally realize that this is more than just a preacher behind the pulpit rehearsing some scriptures and quotes and things he put together. This is God pushing a human element aside and taking control of that man's voice to speak directly to my life. Won't you bow your hearts with us this evening? You say, Brother Andrew, I don't know. I don't know if it's possible. I don't know if things can change, if I can really get what all these things I'm hearing. I want them, but I don't know if I can get them. All things are possible with God. And a prophet stops and says, and all things are possible with you. With every head bowed, every eye closed tonight, would there be one here who could say, Lord, I really need to start pulling on you. I really need to start pulling on you. I just come to the services. It's just becoming a ritual, becoming a common thing. 3 times a week, here I am. God, I need something from you, Lord. Will you come and meet me, Lord? He will, church. You just release your faith in him tonight. Heavenly Father, Lord, all across this building tonight is believers, Lord. Lord, men, women, boys, and girls, Father, preachers, deacons, trustees, musicians, singers. Lord, this building tonight is full of the economy of God. Lord, it's full of people that trust you and believe you and want to serve you, Lord. Lord, as I stand here tonight, I realize what a battle it is, oh God. Lord, as I sit there today, just praying and listening to the prophet preach, and he was talking about how he always wanted to just spend time with you before he came to the pulpit. He said, because it's so important. It's so important to have the right spirit and to be quiet before the Lord. Father, as I sat there and heard that, I realized, oh God, as I heard a man say one time, he had been preaching so long, he could do it anywhere, anytime, without anything. bragging about it. And I thought, oh God, that man obviously don't preach under a battle. Lord, he gotten used to just standing up there and preaching and saying some things. But God, I pray tonight for every true gift of God. Lord, may you drive that old spirit away from them that would try to discourage, that would try to take their zeal away, Father. Lord, no wonder the devil right now is attacking pastors and their wives and their children and their grandchildren and their congregations and, Lord, ministers on the field all around, Lord, because he knows they're carrying that gift, Lord, that they didn't go to some seminary and buy it, Lord. They didn't go out here and get up in the woods and pray and pray and pray. They felt like God put a gift in them. But Lord, you deposited that gift in these men before the foundation of the world. The devil knows that gift come here ordained and sanctified from you. And that gift is carrying power and the word and the promise in it. The devil will do everything he can to stop it and to bind it from going forth. And then he'll move on the people and try to, if he can't stop the gift from preaching, he can't discourage the man to stop preaching the message and to stop declaring the hour and the time and the seasons we're living in. Then he'll move over on the people and try to convince them that they can't get nothing from God. And all, you filthy devil, I condemn you in the name of Jesus Christ. May the Holy Ghost come here tonight, Lord, and wash us by the water of your word. Lord, I pray that when the believers would come together here, Lord, that there would be such a fire, the dynamics of the Holy Ghost. Lord, that demons would be trembling, Father. Lord, sicknesses would leave bodies and minds. Lord, nervousness would leave. Lord, I pray for the men of God that carry this message. May you continue to use them, God. Lord, may you help us tonight, Father, to never let this message become common to us. Lord, never let our pastor's gift become common to us. Never let it become just another service, Lord. It's an opportunity to hear thus saith the Lord from a supernatural dimension. Hallelujah. Oh, can you just raise your hands to him tonight and say, speak to my heart, Lord. I want to tap into that supernatural dimension tonight. Every service, I want to tap in that supernatural dimension. I want to hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say. I don't care what a man has to say. I don't care what a man thinks or what a man's opinion is of this message. I want to hear from my God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sing something for us, Brother Harry. Oh, just let him speak to your heart right now. Just forget about who's around you. Forget about what you got to do tomorrow, what you had to do today for just a few moments. Listen. Lend your ear to him tonight. Let him speak to you.
I'm crying, save.
Oh, speak to our hearts tonight, Lord. Speak to our lives tonight, Lord. Supernatural words. Supernatural words.
Hear my desperate for you, Lord. Open the floodgates of heaven. What if he's real close, just waiting for you to pray? Let it rain. Change me into your image, Lord. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Jesus, we need you. When the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's a word that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song is not what you have desired.
Hallelujah. Let's worship him together.
You search much deeper within, through the way things are.
Yes, Lord.
You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back through the heart.
All I have is yours. every single breath I bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. But what does he look at? You search much deeper within. The way things appear, looking into my heart.
I'm coming back to the heart. Oh, yes, Lord, of the words. It's all about you.
All about you, Jesus.
It's all about you, Jesus.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm sorry, Lord, for
hallelujah.
The thing I've made.
Yes, Lord.
It's all about you.
About you.
It's all about you, Jesus.
Amen. Once again,
I'm coming back to
thank you, Lord.
Of worship.
We worship you, Jesus.
It's all about you.
We bless your name, Lord.
It's all about you, Jesus.
I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made. All about you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, we bow our heads tonight in your great August presence, thanking you, Lord, for using one of your gifts to speak to our hearts. I pray we would never, ever believe that we could get to a place in our walk with you that we don't need the gifts of God that you send our way. We know the terms that Paul used to write the book of Ephesians when he told us that he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men, and then he identifies those gifts. We know it was taken from the Roman assembly when a general would be sent to Mesopotamia or Jerusalem, Syria, wherever it was. That Roman general would defeat that city or that country. And he would capture the leaders and bring them back. And the Roman Senate and the emperor and the Roman citizens would meet that day. And that Roman general would come through in his chariot of fine horses. He would lead those kings and princesses and queens and all of those leaders of that city or that country captive. Then he would take gold and silver and he would throw those gifts out to the people. Here's what Paul had in his mind when he saw you. You first descended into the lower parts of the earth. Then you ascended on high. Hallelujah. With every devil captured. Ever sickness, ever disease. Paul saw it as a great parallel that you threw gifts unto men, but it wasn't silver and gold. It was pastors, evangelists, prophets, teachers, missionaries. Hallelujah. You throw those gifts to men to help guide them, lead them, nurture them in a closer walk with you. Forgive us for ever taking those gifts for granted. Not only those that sat under them, but those who have them. For we realize a preacher can take that gift for granted, just like the laity can. Help us to always honor them, reverence them, and realize it is a great special thing that God puts in our lives, that we will protect it, that we will always nurture it and watch over it, Father. But we know one day we'll have to answer. Brother Andrew will have to answer for his, me for mine, Brother Wes, all the brethren around the world that you've called will have to answer for their gift. Father God, help us. We love you tonight. Thank you for your word. Lord, it was so timely, so wonderful. Thank you for Sunday and for tonight as well. Thank you for Brother Andrews, Sister Mariah coming to be with us, Lord. Pray that you just bless him, bless his ministry, God. Watch over him. Keep your hand upon him. Not only him, but every God-called man around the world. I pray for him, Father. They're fighting battles like never before. And it's because Satan hates them. We thank you, Father. They're called to stand like David of old. Go with us now, Lord. Bring us back again, if it be pleasing to you, on Sunday. We look forward again to you speaking to us your precious word. Amen. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we ask it. Praise God. Amen. Were you blessed tonight? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Certainly appreciate our brother coming by, don't we? Just obeying the Lord. Thank you, Brother Andrew. Amen. I so appreciate the gifts of God. Brother Dan Daisley used to say that preachers are like lifesavers that come in all different flavors. And you realize, you know, that God has men that are very dynamic and some that are slower and they may not talk as fast, but they're just as anointed and they're just as gifted. And some go in the deeper things and some go in the faith avenue. And boy, you just feel like when they get done, you're looking for the devil. But each one of them are God's gifts. And God diversifies them and makes them the way that he wants them. We can't keep from having favorites. Come on, be honest, like all the rest of us. I've got ones that minister to me, and you've got ones that are favorites. But I try to honor every gift of God myself, whether it's a favorite of mine or not. I've got favorites. I've got to be honest. I've got favorites that I just really, really like. I've got brothers that I enjoy hearing them, but they're just not a favorite of mine. But, I mean, I've got favorites, like I have favorite foods. I mean, you know, broccoli is one of my favorite all-time things to never eat. Now, Brother Andrew, when you go for lunch or supper with him, he don't order one order of broccoli. He wants double, which is mine and his. So I have no problem with that. I'm glad he wants double. That means I don't have to eat the stuff. But that's the way God made us. God made us different. We study different. We look different. And it's wonderful. I'm on a chat, and Brother Andrew is on there as well, with several different ministers. And it's just amazing. The different ministers will post different quotes and things that stick out to one wouldn't stick out to another. And then, you know, you post one, and the brother said, oh, that's a quote I needed to go in my notes for today. That happened Sunday on something that I'd posted. And then others, they probably didn't think, what was he thinking when he posted that quote? But it's something that sticks out to you, you know, and it really blesses you. And that's the way the gifts of God are. I found out a long time ago, whenever we limit ourselves and we hone ourselves down to about one or two gifts, we're missing out on so much of the kingdom of God. God bless you, buddy. May the Lord bless you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, Sunday, you got to listen to me. Old, slow. Man. I think I used to could preach that fast. I'm not sure if I ever did that fast or not. But amen. We so appreciate it. God bless you. So glad we can come back together again, aren't you? The Lord's helping us with all this COVID stuff, and so far I don't hear of any numbers, and hopefully it'll stay that way. Still affecting other saints in other areas, so just remember them in your prayers. Let's just bow our heads together, and we'll pray together and be dismissed. Lord, it's been so wonderful to be assembled together in your presence again tonight. We thank you so much, Lord, not only for the word, but we thank you for the anointing and the presence of God that was here with us to make the word alive. We thank you, Lord Jesus. You desire to manifest yourself in a great supernatural way. Your prophet said it, Lord, in 1963. He said, we see those times moving among us, those apostolic times. But he said, we long to see more of it. And that's what we desire. Father, not that it would prove that we're anything, but that it would show how great you are. For there's nothing we can do on our own. Go with us now, I pray, Lord. Be mindful of us. Just minister to us, Lord Jesus. Your saints around the world, dear God, have so many needs. I pray that you would just be mindful of them, Lord. Some suffering with so many things in their bodies, their homes, their lives. Lord Jesus, manifest yourself to your children. Go with us now as we leave. Be with us the remaining portion of the week. If it be pleasing to you, bring us back here again Sunday, Lord, where we can gather together again and worship and sing and pray and preach and just do those things which believers do. In the name of the Lord Jesus. And the saints said,
amen.
Now, I don't know about you. We've been having church around here on Saturday night for about 30-some years. Now, I'm letting it go for just a little bit to make sure that this thing don't explode on us. But I've been awful, awful homesick for church on Saturday night. Now, I realize there's probably some of you that wish we wouldn't have church on Saturday night again, because you'd rather go here and there and there and there. But I'll tell you one thing. I'm missing that extra meal that I'm used to having on Saturday night. So we'll just kind of watch this thing and make sure that it's doing right. But don't some of you lazy outfits think, oh, praise the Lord, we're not going to have Saturday night service no more. Yes, we are. Amen. Amen. Now tell me, where in reality would be a better place to be than church on Saturday night? And after all, if I only get to preach one service on the weekend, my series will go into the thousands. The titles are going to be so long, the brothers are going to have to put the name on the back. Amen. God bless you, saints. Love you so much in the Lord. Sing, Harry, and get me out of this mess. God bless you. Appreciate you in the Lord Jesus. Go in the fear of God.
We fall down, we lay our crown at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of mercy and love at the feet.